February 11th, 2018 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Oh, the woman I love. How she shapes me simply by giving me space. How she knows me by giving me songs written to the stars. How she hums me, moments vibrating on her tongue, sunsets dangling in her lashes. How she finds me, looking everywhere I'm not, staring me down in the vacuum of everyone who ever broke our hearts. How she chides me, brushing off the echoing tears like so much disillusioned vapor. Oh, the woman I love, her borderlines distinct, understated, and tipped with razored laughter. She calls to me from the mountains. She lays me down in the inevitable, nursing my wounds with rain clouds and the tender dangers of missing out. Oh, the woman I love, how she holds me, my corners somehow morphing into curves.
Bob for Pedro Show, February 11, 2018. Brother Matt indisposed. I'm in Pedro, but I'm not at the Love God on the Pleasure Point. I'm in my pad, but not man alone with me.
Steve Reed.
Mark Siegel.
Two-Bit Whore. And we heard John Coltrane open up the show with Amen off Sonship. And then Two-Bit Whore with Square Peg. Who started the proj?
You did, right?
Mark, yeah, started okay, it with poet.
Yeah. No, listen. I'm going to ask you your earliest memory of music in your life.
Listening to my dad's big band records.
You were a boy?
Yeah.
So in the house?
Pet? Yep.
Okay. Here, SoCal?
Yeah.
Okay. About when?
I took notice of them when I was about six.
Oh, in the years and months.
Oh, geez, I was probably about...
No, like 19...
60, 61.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so early 60s, big band. And was he's just a listener? Was anybody in the house a player?
Nope.
No, so there's no instruments?
No, not till okay. I got one.
What about the first record you bought yourself?
First record I bought myself was James Brown, Live at the Apollo.
Oh, album. Okay. Can you remember your first gig that you went to?
The first gig I went to was to see Roger Miller and Roy Clark.
Oh, where?
Greek Theater.
Greek. Okay, outside. Were you a boy?
Yeah, I was about 10.
Wow, okay. At school, did you have music?
No.
Like, you know, music classes.
Well, that we did, yeah. It didn't impress me much at the time.
But you didn't join the school band, like?
No.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you said you started playing when you got an instrument. How'd that happen?
I got in trouble because I was always tapping on things at school.
Yeah.
So my mom saved up 3 books of S&H Green stamps and got me a pair of bongos.
You get those when you buy groceries.
That's right.
You fill up those books.
Yep.
So your first drums was bongos.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah. Drums at school, too, was kind of lame. Like marching band or, yeah, the jazz band, right, or something. Percussion in the classical kind of thing. So bongos on your own, did you play to, did you have favorite bongo players? Did you listen to them?
If it was on Motown or Stax, I could play along with it.
Just play along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was portable. When did you get your first trap?
Got my first kit in 77.
Yeah. And where'd you set it up?
Well, being we lived in an apartment, I had a buddy named Ken. Let me set it up in his garage. He had a very merciful family.
Did you play with this cat?
Yeah.
Okay. First band?
First band.
Okay. They had a name?
That was the first band me and buddies put together, and we called ourselves the Ravens.
Okay. Did you write your own songs or copy records?
Oh, we just played the cool shit from the radio.
So no original. Yeah.
Not yet.
I know. Look, I can't do the same thing. I'm not trying to make judgment. I'm just letting people know, because everyone has, I found, has a different journey in music that I've had on the show. Almost 500 shows now. 16 years. Hold on. You remember your... Oh, what, you got another band member?
Yeah, they were.
Come on.
Howdy.
Come on, sit down here. We'll play some music.
Yeah. Thank you.
heart. Recruit ministers of congenital shouting love. No longer childhood. Take liberty that could. Wet paper when we write. We bear for last and fight. This liberty is not at home. Stepping out into a new zone. She climbs the fence to meet enemies. Who send their affectionate regards to me.
Thank you. Don't know where I'm going, and I'll see you soon.
broken cat dance he is. A Wurlitzer of disproportion, a shadow afraid of itself. Out of sync with his own rhythms, his lexicon stubbornly unfamiliars beautifully. Harmonians en masse dividing the skies, misaligned in only the wrongest eyes. Foreign in only the narrowest of ears, broken cat dancing in misconstrued deconstruction, the real shadows that shine with unconcern, not ignorance, with rhythms never heard but worn like in utero timing pins, like the lockstep of idiocy. Shearing gears in the grind, mindset manifesto, beating retreat from every bar brawl of love. Shame, shame on you purveyors, you tired logos of belittled humanness, you murderers of love, you vapid jazz chords of cultural renal failure. Here is a man, a broken cat dance party, political free speech incarnate motherfucker, groveling only for starry truths, singing loudly with no camouflage, singing for the only us we should recognize, calling for us to find a dance that does not name us ugly, for a dispensation of frank realities, for a dark corner when necessary. Here is a man willing to take on the pump organs of mediocrity on their own terms and call down the stars in our defense to hold them on his hands. Talisman, toxin, delivered metaphors of all we bleed for. Look, look at his stars, see the tired tender that resemble eyes. Hum with the intrepid constant, the Fibonacci momentum of his tongue. Note that only the purest of love singes the air around him.
For Pedro's show, we heard The Hammers, Time, Two-Bit Whore, Alice Bag, Brand New, Turn It Up, Alex Xiang Huntai with Nowhere Fast, something new from Thurston, MX Liberty, Hapoda from Duasemicola Chies and Verdadis. It's a fucking name. And Druggy Kazar, demo from Vasco Denasoki, Macedonia. Farther south out of Tel Aviv with We Walked and Walked, part one. Jordi Party, 1518, that's Italy. That's the Space Systems with Foo Foo out of upstate New York. Belgrade Band Group with Turista, Mladi Kovac. Some sunny day from Easy Lou Jones, which me and my second man are going to do a benefit coming up. Because his pad burned down, which is so fucked.
Wow, jeez.
Always, you know what I mean? Yeah, anybody, yeah. Or somebody gets hurt,
yeah.
I'm always there to do benefit. Right, because it's always the nightmare in my mind.
Yeah.
And then finally, the collector of indirect loans, Two-Bit Whore. We just finished with Mark's early beginnings. And Brother Steve.
Yes.
Of Dublin Street.
Dublin Street.
Right.
Good.
I know you had music going way back. But what's your earliest music memory?
The earliest was probably going to see Duke Ellington at Royce Hall and watching Sam Woodyard play drums. And watching him play was something really special. I said, wow. Because of the energy that he had.
Yeah.
And he was just like this amazing, this energy. And I said, man.
That music, too, pretty bold.
Yeah.
That was
in 66.
Yeah.
And
sound good there?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
And it just changed my whole life. I said, I want to be a drummer.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just couldn't just start just playing. We had to take lessons. So my mother gave me lessons and stuff. And I learned from Jack Sweet, who took over.
Because there's a lot of musicians in the neighborhood, right?
Right, right. The Brothers Johnson, a lot of people played and stuff. But I took lessons from Jack Sweet, who took over for Krupa. With the Benny Goodman Orchestra.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he showed me how to play drums. And I got a little set and I started playing.
What about
like records. What was the first one you bought?
Going to a Go-Go by the Miracles, my very first
That's
record.
That's fucking John Entwistle's favorite bass line from James Jamerson.
Yeah, Jamerson was like, oh, God.
Bad, huh?
Yeah, but I wasn't playing bass back then.
No, I know. So, yeah. Bass drum.
Yeah, bass drum, yeah.
But what about the first gig you saw?
Well, that was kind of like, that was probably, I would say the Ellington was like kind of the first gig.
Yeah, because you're a boy, right?
Yeah. But the first rock gig was Led Zeppelin. I figured I better go see a rock band before they all die out. And I saw them that year.
70s, yeah.
Yeah, so I saw them first.
What about the first gig playing for people?
Oh,
you know, Spotsky played with some of them.
Yeah, I know.
Johnson Brothers, too.
Yeah, I know.
And drums, too.
Yeah. The first gig I ever did was KDFJ Soul Search. And we were in that competition, and that was my first gig in front of like 500 people at Jefferson High School.
Wow. And
that was Yankees.
Yeah.
Right.
I was all sick and vomiting and
Robertson.
Stuff.
Robertson.
Huh?
Robertson.
Robertson?
Robertson.
Robertson's.
Is that where the school is?
No, no, Jefferson High School.
Where am I thinking, Hamilton?
You're thinking about Hamilton, where I went to school. Jefferson's was where
so you
Mingus
went to school in Hamilton, but the contest was at Jefferson.
Mingus went to Jefferson High.
That's
my
right,
father
that's
went
right.
there.
And actually, they had the big music program.
Right.
Red Collender, he learns the But that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. The contest is Jefferson. You went
but
to
I went
Hamilton.
To Hamilton, though.
Okay.
And that's where I
they're
learned.
They're the Yankees.
Yeah, right.
My memory's kind of terrible. Isn't it?
But that was my first
you know, people, you got to understand, we would go way back, me and Steve Reed, to 80s touring with each other, late 80s.
Yeah, we go back.
And all the way up to my first opera, and many years in the boat. And so I've got to hear a lot of these stories and stuff. I mix them and put them in this context here. So how was that? Did you win that show?
No, we didn't win it.
That's all right.
You know, it was my first show, and I was really nervous. I was a young, I was 14, and the other guys were like 16, so I was all nervous, but played. Yeah. It was cool. It was fun.
14, then you're junior high.
Yeah, I was junior high school. I was before,
okay.
I went to Audubon.
Audubon, okay. Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's when I got the press. They put me in the papers and stuff, and the band was called the Magicians. And we also went to a Battle of the Bands, so those were like the first couple shows I did.
Yeah.
And then after that, we did, like, dances and parties, just doing copy.
Did you ever do music in school? The band? Marching, jazz?
No, I never did that.
Okay.
I just took private lessons. I took a lot
private,
of music.
Okay.
I took a lot of music classes to understand.
Like harmony?
Music. Yeah, harmony. And then
they offered them at the school?
Yeah.
Okay. No, because a lot of schools, you know, I just did this benefit for music in Chinatown because Calistar, that great school. They cut the music out.
Yeah, they cut it out.
That's why he started his Silver Lake Conservatory. He went back to Fairfax, where he learned trumpet, and they cut the program.
Yep.
There's almost no music and art programs left in L.A. schools.
Okay.
It's very sad.
Jive. Well, yeah, but in his day, there was once, just like we had the biggest rail system, right? 1,000 miles of light rail.
Right, exactly.
1960, we traded for buses.
Right.
People, if you ever come to SoCal, you see real wide streets like Hawthorne or what used to be called MLK now, but was Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara.
See how wide they are? Because the red car was going right down the middle. Santa Monica's like that, too. They say little and big because that red car was going down the middle.
Right.
And just now they're trying to rebuild the whole thing, little bits at a time.
Little bits.
But just the monies for the land rights. No foresight.
No.
You know, and we're paying for it. Anyway, not to get on the high horse about that shit.
Yes, sir.
Your earliest music memory.
My earliest music memory is listening to my parents' record collection and singing along to the Beatles,
listeners?
Carole King.
Are they players?
No. Okay. No, just fans. My mom played a little piano when she was a kid.
Is there one in the... Oh, there's not one in the house.
In my house? Well, when I was a kid, there was.
Oh, so there was an instrument in
the house. Yeah, I never learned, but mostly it was just
was there,
listening to the
she
collection.
Learned when she was a girl.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And what about the first record you bought?
First record I bought was probably...
Too hard a question.
It was a country compilation. Had like Ann Murray and... Had like
kind of anthology.
Yeah. It was, you know, late 70s kind of.
That's happening at that moment.
Yeah, I didn't know it, really
now,
know what was cool.
Remember the big company, especially with the AM stuff, was like K-Tel. They would have all,
yeah, yeah.
What were they, Steve? Superbad and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have all.
I remember those commercials every summer. Yeah.
You know, whatever.
The greatest dance hits ever.
And they had this for country
yep.
stuff, too.
Yep.
And it was yep. kind of by genre. Here, sit your ass down here, please.
Come on, brother. Yeah, so that this, music
this
was always...
got to get up for this benefit. So okay.
Music was always a part of the household.
What? Yeah, what about you? What was the first record you bought yourself with your own coin?
You know, it was probably when I really started collecting with any kind of...
No, like not collecting, just the first one you got.
Probably the Eagles' first album.
Okay.
Scary.
There's some good songs on there.
People don't like Eagles.
I know. No, they had great guitar players, but yeah, it wasn't too long after that.
Birdie.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh was good too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, but I like him better than Janie Jane.
Oh, absolutely.
By himself,
absolutely.
Too. But he helped them get the hotel. Yeah.
He made a million.
Okay,
bucks
what about more. The first time you picked up an instrument? How'd that happen?
Well, when I was real little, I wanted to learn how to play the violin, and so I had some violin lessons for a while, and then I switched to trumpet.
Why did you
want
to play violin?
I can't remember a time as a little kid when I didn't think that was just the most badass instrument in the world. To me, it was so... I couldn't articulate it.
Country record had probably some violin on it.
Country, yeah, but also my parents always listened to classical music, so it was always on the radio. So I heard violin in all kinds of contexts.
Right. It's country, it's fiddle. It's on the arm, it ain't on the string.
Whatever.
Right.
But I think it's one of the most expressive instruments.
When went over to the viola, he called it the
fiddle.
Fiddle.
He was staying with you when he came to do the show.
He
right?
always does.
Because he was doing that overspeak. Yeah, he's cousin. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, what about school? Did you do any of that?
What, school music
band,
in school?
No,
no. I was an
harmony.
Outsider.
Okay.
And there wasn't a lot in the way of music classes.
I'm just trying to find out about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what about so what happened with the violin? Some lessons?
I decided I wanted to learn trumpet.
Why? Why'd you make the switch? You just want your parents buying all this kind of shit?
Well, we rented my instrument. They were smart in that regard. Because they had an idea I wasn't going to...
Especially when you're little, you're figuring
yeah,
it out.
I was trying to figure it out. And I like the trumpet as well, because I think it is similarly expressive. I don't think all instruments have the same kind of emotional range.
Sure. Cello has a big range.
Oh, yeah. Cello's great. Violin, trumpet, saxophone, I think, are all very, very... They have a really wide range.
So you need
something
like around the human voice.
Which is probably why I ended up being a vocalist.
Okay.
Because I just never had the discipline to stick with an instrument long enough to really master it. On the other hand, I kept talking and writing poetry, so that kind of developed on its own.
No, it's just another form of expression.
Yeah. And,
you know, in the old days, they didn't really combine it much unless the guy was by himself, like some kind of troubadour. Ensembles usually had, you know, choir. The whole thing of a band with a lead singer, maybe we didn't even have the technology where you could do that. You had to have a bunch of singers, you know.
Yeah.
Lyrics coming from the Bible or something. I don't know. It was just a different thing. And with the music's... It's an interesting about that if you check out the traditions. So you're on your own. Maybe you kind of got into it with your friends
mm-hmm.
after school, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I had a few bands through high school that never played out. But
and was it weird to be the guy without the instrument?
I always felt like I was kind of trying to catch up with everybody because I felt like they knew what they were doing with their instruments and I didn't know what I was doing as a
singer.
It
seems to me most gig-goers... think the band is about the guy without the instrument.
No.
You notice that? What they call him? The front man.
The front man.
Indeed.
You know, and I get that. I mean, that's a role in a band.
I put my drummers up front.
Right, right. You know, and that's fine. Man. And I don't even mind being, you know, labeled
George
the front
Hurley
man.
George should have never played Bynes. It's so fucking long to figure that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, the first time I saw Minutemen play was when you guys did an acoustic set at Bebop Records out in Reseda.
George,
and George sat on the little riser with bongos.
Yeah, what was his name? Rene Engel. He was a Val guy.
Yeah. Well, I was a Val guy. I grew up in the West Valley. That's why I hung out in Bebop.
A Val guy.
Yeah.
You know, Kay lives in the Valley.
I grew up there, too.
Oh, I do. I hate it.
It's a little tough because it's a little sweaty, huh?
Oh, yeah. No,
we don't get much breeze. But anyway, do you remember your first gig?
Other than, like, you know, concerts that my parents would take us to as little kids.
No. First gig you went and played.
Oh, played?
Was that Death and Taxes?
It was probably Death and Taxes at Bebop.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it was when he was in Paper Bag. And,
okay.
I met our friend.
Same kind of things, improvisation.
We did some improv, but it was a lot of composed stuff too, kind of metal, punk.
You went with some of those guys later, no? You didn't share members? Yeah, if that's what
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're the Val too, right?
Yes.
Well, can you play usually with cats that are near you, right?
Exactly.
What's your earliest music memory?
I grew up listening to the oldies station that my mom would put on the
radio. So that's your earliest memory is old, like 50s.
Yeah, 50s.
Songs coming over the radio.
Yeah.
Did you have stuff in the pad to play, instruments? Was it players, your parents?
Well, my mom had an old acoustic guitar flying around,
so she played.
But she didn't really play it too much.
But it was there?
It was there, and I could pick it up
That's
and play
cool.
with it if I ever what, found what, the inspiration.
What neighborhood?
Neighborhood? West L.A.
Ah. Well, that's kind of big. Which part?
I grew up in Mar Vista.
Mar Vista? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is right on, it's kind of a border.
Yes, it is.
Palms.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Pedro's like, you know, yeah. Did you do school music?
You know,
the programs, classes.
No.
You'd be surprised how many dudes did do that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I tried, you know, a few weeks, and 10 weeks, and I got kicked out. I tried hard, but it didn't.
Didn't Trent Reznor play trombone and marching band?
No, this was clarinet. It wasn't marching band. I was just sitting there trying to do jazzy version of the first Noel.
Oh,
okay. I tried, you know.
Jeff kicked out of Cal Arts.
He said, you should... stop wasting your time and my time and looks at the class our time. So, you know, seventh grade, right? Totally crushed. I never took another class. But, you know, I'm always interested about the school things because some dudes came out of it.
Right.
Like Charlie
yeah.
Mingus.
Yeah.
Eric
yes.
Dolphy.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
There was a time when the music programs, the drum corps in New York City with Billy Cobham, you know, you start paradiddles, right? Rudiment. With quarters holding them on the bulkhead. And mm-hmm. then you go down to dimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could pay for that with lessons. But just think if they had that in school.
Boy.
Yeah, you know what
they
I mean?
They did once.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's why I ask about it. I'm curious. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
Oh, man.
Too hard a question.
It was either a...
Remember Monty Python and the Holy Grail? What color are your eyes? Blue. No, brown!
Careful, B. You're going to get flown off the cliff.
You can't remember? That's cool. What about the first gig you went to?
First gig I went to? Or
yeah.
Who did you see play?
It was probably a jazz gig.
All right. How old?
I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. 50, 60.
I just turned my family went to see Hiroshima a couple times. My
ah, Fuge.
Yeah.
Is it Brunel?
Yeah.
Buddy?
It's a good band, too.
Yeah. Well, they know how to play.
Yes.
Fine musicians.
Yeah, I would say great musician. Where, like, I remember they did a bunch of gigs at the Roxy. It might have been there.
I don't think so.
Okay.
We saw them
like
a couple
did like a
places.
Week in a row at a couple times.
Some
them
and
the Yellow Jackets, right? They
yep,
did a
Yellow
lot of records.
Robin Ford's old band, Yellow
Maybe
Jackets.
Maybe that's Bunny. No, that was that other guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. But something like that.
Anyway, interesting. How'd you get playing?
I started playing in middle school. And...
Now, how'd you get the thing in your hands?
Well, up until that point, I was really just kind of into, like, whatever my family was playing. And around that time, you know, my friends were coming to school talking about the bands that they were into.
Right.
And so I was hearing about all this stuff for the first time. And
so to be with them.
Yeah. And... yeah, that was kind of really my first taste of music other than, you know, stuff that was made
sure,
in the 60s, 70s.
So, garage band scene?
Not so much. It was actually right about the time that nu metal was breaking.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as you and your buddies, you're in the bedroom. Me and D Boom were more bedroom band.
That came a little bit later.
Okay.
But yeah, I started like becoming more aware of current musicians.
Sure.
And becoming interested in that, and so I started taking guitar lessons.
How'd you get that guitar?
You stole it, didn't you?
There was a local guitar shop in Santa Monica that I always thought had a really interesting sign. That was True Tone.
Oh, yeah, I remember those cats.
Yeah.
They had some good technician guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they still do, sorry.
Yeah.
But,
so they had one in the shop you were always looking at? Oh, no, the sign.
They had a sign back in the day that, God, what did it say? The big text said free guitar.
Oh.
there was little writing around it. What did it say? It was like, free yourself from high prices, buy a guitar from us, or something like that.
So free the guitar. Was it like they're giving you a free guitar? Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Watch for Pedro Show, February 11, 2018. Special guest, 2-Bit R. Hold tight for hour two. February 11, 2018. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you. So we start off the second hour with Two-Bit Horde doing Nothing Rhymes with the Tide. And Crash Landing with Inuit Carnicle. Alberto Bacardi, Stefano Pelia with Bastet Part 2. That's brand new. Guided by Voices, Sudden Fiction. Sorry. Mal Divisa with Live Again. And finally, The Only Way with Two-Bit Horde. So let's talk about Two-Bit Horde, you four guys. How to start?
Well, Mark and I have been trying.
Well, you guys were already talking about taxes.
But more recently we had another improvisational project.
No, but that's where you guys started.
Yeah,
right.
And that was out of that whole thing, right. But we couldn't get things going for us. So we decided we were going to go into the studio to record an album of poetry and percussion.
Yeah,
that was the idea. And then as soon
as man band.
Yeah, that's
it. We're the two bits.
Yep. The two bits.
That was us.
I think they're quarters, right?
Yeah. Two bits is 25
quarter
cents.
Quarter was a bit of a dollar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so we were going to do poetry and percussion.
Yeah.
But as we started getting together and working on material, it became very quickly obvious that multiple pieces were just asking for more than just poetry and percussion. They were asking for a guitar here and a bass there.
But you did have all the stuff done.
We hadn't done anything. Oh, we were just trying to develop the material, and we're going, okay, we've got this great rhythm, we've got this idea, and we're working it and massaging it, but then it's like, no, we could use some guitar on this piece or something like that. And so we brought Steve and B in and just started work on material, and almost instantly the chemistry seemed to fall together very well.
You met them just from the scene, because they ain't Val.
No, but we've, you know, Steve and Mark have known each other for ages and ages. I've known Mark for ages and ages, and
no, you guys were.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They weren't.
No.
Yeah. But because so much time, it becomes like when you fly over an airplane. Wow, it's one town. I mean, it's really 150. We know that.
Sure, yep.
But because of the movement and the scene.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I understand now. So you didn't put ads in the recycler.
No, we just knew each other from around. We played together.
Well, I know, I understand with you two, but how did you know to get Steve, get me?
Well, these two have been helping us out with our improv project.
Oh, so.
So we'd actually been playing together for a little while, but it wasn't a full commitment.
What's the improv project called?
It was called Baggage.
Baggage?
Yeah. And we had a residency at Beyond Baroque in Venice, and so we were playing monthly there and bringing other bands to play with us and had a great time. But we just couldn't, for whatever reason, we couldn't keep it sustained. And so we ended up, like I said, going for this, you know, spoken word and percussion thing that evolved into
Two-Bit Horde. And why did the name change from Baggage to Two-Bit Horde?
Well, because it started out as a completely different project. Baggage was an improv thing. Two-Bit Horde is all composed. It's all, you know, and it's composed around.
Were you going to call it Two-Bit Horde when it was just you two?
We hadn't come up with a name yet.
Okay.
We hadn't gotten that far.
So it's these two guys that made you think of that name.
Yes, they were the biggest whores.
That was Mark's idea to call
the band. Yeah, we were just batting around ideas, spitballing. Mark, we all came up with, you know, a short list of names that we thought might work, and we just kind of process of elimination.
I mean, have people ever talked to you about the name?
Oh, yes.
There's no ladies in the band.
No, but...
I heard the term from my father, because he wasn't an educated man, so he worked many jobs, sometimes at the same time, just to take care of a big family. And any time I would say to him, "How was work today, Dad?" he'd go, "It's always the same for a two-bit whore, boy."
Right.
I go to work, and they pay me quarters, and I keep us alive.
I played with this band up in the city years ago called Uncle Bob Touched Me. which I thought was interesting. And
I've actually found that more often than not, when I meet somebody and they ask me about the band, "Oh, what's your band's name?" I tell them Two-Bit Whore. By a vast majority, people respond very positively.
Okay, so the band gets together. You guys already been working together.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've already been working with you in an improv.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying, "I want parts."
Right. So basically we...
Well, let's listen to how that sounds.
All right.
stunning, isn't it? More moments should be like this. Deafening. Shaped by love. The rhythm picks up. The dance seems illegal. We are the singers of because we fucking can. We're the clutchers of dreams. Heads awash in truth. Tongues sharpened by the brutality. The bestiality. The stone square sieve. The mortarless pestle draping itself as comfort. This is the moon telling us to breathe. We slow in time. This is our hearts warming us with the honest strange. We slow at times, and our automatic minds mutter into the glorious yop, hums transitioning to myth, stars dangling in our teeth. Stunning, isn't it? More moments should look like her eyes. Deafening. Shaped by love.
Think about it. Yeah. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. say the good news doesn't sell. Well, they can take their bling and all go to hell all day long.
Whatever. poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. They have created a repressive society, and we are their unwitting accomplices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
empty. I see the darkness clinging to those lashes. I see the shadows that haunt you, you ghost you, you phantom paradise.
For Pedro show, seeing it as you really are, two bit whore. Think from DMF that they're Orange County DER News, Joshua Tree, Faya, Froghair. Both these guys are from Houston. Dead and My Eyes Are a Step Behind. Unloved with Uneasy. Bronx Out of Osaka with Old School, Still New School. Chinese Herbal Medicine, Portland, Maine, with Sides. And finally, Nothing. From Two Bit Whore. What was the first practice like?
Amazing.
Just where it's like, because you've already been playing, but now it's like,
yeah.
I want parts.
Yeah, and we said, okay, look, here's the stuff we've been working on. We want these kinds of ideas. What do you got? And we just kind of jumped in, and I think largely because we'd already been improvising together.
They were
some of them improvised ideas.
Well, we just kind of improvised on the stated concepts and just played it and played off each other until it gelled. Oh yeah, changed lots from start to finish until it started going. Oh, you know what? This is feeling right.
My heart
is
getting better. You feel any parts of baggage in Two Bit Whore?
Nope.
No. I can believe it.
No.
We're at the end of the second hour, February 11, 2018. Special guest Two Bit Whore. Hold tight for hour three. February 11, 2018 is the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Nothing with love for love, with patience for anger, with anger for stupidity. I am the citizen of love, with nothing for my enemies but a patience that burns slowly. I am the longer table, built from the higher fence. I am the song of redistribution, not of wealth, but of love. I am the song of your poverty. I am the citizen still, searching for your love, sorting through your nothing with my burning enemies, dangling from my heartstrings. Pulling at the sky because I don't mind dying beneath the weight of the day. If it gives love another breath, if the night will kiss my bones and howl a storied mystery, setting the city aflame with our lost patience. If it gives love another breath, the night will kiss my bones and howl a storied mystery, setting the city aflame with our lost patience.
Christmas lights are like jams for trees. Makes a nice holiday for you and me. Christmas lights are like jams for trees. Makes a nice holiday. Christmas lights. Christmas lights. Christmas lights. Christmas lights are like jams for trees. Makes a nice holiday for you and me.
clock they use is a natural one of the stars. Philosophers, poets, prehistoric painters, translators, translations, interpretations. Discover what is always there. Logical wonders, lost wisdom.
Watt for Pedro Show. We start the third hour off with I Am the Red and the Black by Two Bit Whore. Sun Ra with Nameless One Number Two. MB Jones with Jail for Trees. I'm on the bass there. He's in Pusan. A New Day Looms Over the Horizon by David Gerard and Wolfgang Gesell, Massachusetts. Mute Point Brown Lung, Super Freak. With Milano with I Can Make It. Okay, so what was the first gig like?
Well, it was a ton of fun. As it happened, our first gig happened on my 50th birthday, so we just made a big old fun party of it.
Yeah, it was great.
Then when did the album come?
Actually, we had the album in the can by the time we played our first gig.
So you already recorded.
We kind of did it bass backwards.
Yeah, Rusty was telling me.
Yeah.
We had to take a little
hiatus. It's not backwards. Some bands do that. That's all right. Especially if you've already been playing and stuff. Yeah. Right? It makes sense. Where'd you do it?
The album? Did it our friend Frank Rosato's studio out in the valley. He's got a studio that he built in Scratch.
Woodcliff
Studio. Man's a fucking genius.
Where was
behind
the
boards. That was at Beyond Baroque in Venice. I used to work there, so I had sort of a gig. Yeah.
That's where John Domenici.
I know very well.
I did my.
That's where I saw Richard Hell.
I remember Minutemen played there with Roz Zebra, right?
Yep.
That's where Bob Styrus first saw us. Mm-hmm. The Buzzer Howl days.
Yeah.
Last time I was playing with a pick. Well, Jay asked me Stooges, but it's hard. I wish I could do it better. Anyway, was it quick?
The recording? Yeah, it took us 2 days of recording, 1 day of mixing, basically.
Wow.
We had rehearsed everything really well before even going in.
You know, there's a trip in the semantics there. When a basketball player, you know, do they really
practice.
Go to the court?
Practice.
And rehearse.
We practiced a lot before we went into the studio.
I've never heard anybody say to go to rehearse basketball.
No, because I've listened to your podcast before, and I've heard the whole practice rehearsal argument.
It weirds me out. It's like somehow it's like you're lame. You're a student, right, if you're practicing. Okay. Rehearsing kind of means like you're running through it, right?
Yeah. And some of that process.
Those gigs aren't recitals, though. Do you really rehearse the gig?
No, but we practiced the material before we went into the studio. So when we went in, we could cut the basic tracks pretty live, and then just overdub.
We didn't know it was going to be a live band. Initially, we went in to try to do a real good record. But as we were winding
you mean
up, the
Two Bit Whore was just going to be a recording project.
That's correct. It wasn't never intended to go out live.
Yeah,
get into the mind readings case, but still in mind, still use words. Yeah, no, I didn't know this. I thought it was an evolution of the baggage.
Not really. It started as a completely separate, distinct project.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But as it came about, it was not going to ever be done live. Was Baggage ever going to be done live?
We had done it live. Okay. And we were hoping to sustain it and record it. Okay. And then that wasn't panning out. So we said, okay, let's step back a little bit, Mark and me, and let's do this other thing that then evolved into a full band that we loved playing with each other so much.
You mean it wasn't working out? Was
the Baggage thing wasn't working out. Yeah. We were playing
live. Like the Baggage gigs.
Loved the Baggage gigs. We had a ton
of
fun.
They were a blast.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it just,
it
wasn't.
The difference is, you didn't like the way the material was coming together. You wanted more in the bass guitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to figure it out.
Sure.
Okay. The evolution.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people love.
But then as we were practicing, we discovered how much we really loved playing this material with each other and said, let's take it out.
When the record got done, it's like, let's...
We need to take this out.
Play it for people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, you know, some recordings are so much convoluted things. You can't do them live. But the way you did your proj, it was almost like you were doing a gig in a studio, right?
Well, we kind of approached it with the idea of basically just having very simple parts, even if there's a lot of them in the studio that we've worked together, but it breaks down to very simple straight ahead parts. It's almost a minimalist approach, even if you hear a number of percussion overdubs on it or some guitar overdubs. It's really just bass guitar, drums, and vocals, and even that, the arrangements are, we tried to keep them fairly stripped down so that when we went to take it out live, we had to work on it a little bit.
But you didn't know yet.
We didn't know yet. When we did the album, we didn't know we were going to take it live. We had to figure out how to make it live.
And he mixed it tonight. That's pretty good. Double Nickels mixed it one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear this, it's like, we can do gigs with this.
right?
Yep.
Right.
Okay. And we were kind of in love with it by the time we were done mixing and everything. We didn't want to walk away.
We're going to do this, the stage. Like, you wanted to bring it to the stage.
Yes. Well, that whole piece is about, that's what I'm saying. About the experience of performance.
And this is why I'm talking about this. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not my first rodeo.
Of ideas, a wondering of ifs. We dancers, we singers, we chain ourselves to ascension, to the alchemy of words turning here. Find the physics of poetry here, hidden in the syllables, sparkling under heated attentions. Here, this meaningful slide, this rhythm of ideas, here in the space between us, in the moments we see, in the dancing horizons and the reason to breathe, here in the lie, here in the truth, here in the eternity, the obscurity, the absurdity. Here in the region to
Oh! must tan yourself. And every morning, are we all going to work or to the mess I listen to? Yeah. If you can't go faster, you're no longer hired. And day in and day out, you go from the pan straight into the fire. For ages, I'm a people make a machine out of yourself. You're a company, line assembly, you're a machine right now. You're in a higher height, you're in a little store, but either way we are, your fingers full of sores. And every day you have better keep it shut, you're messing with your constitution. You can't go faster, gonna get fired. And day in and day out, no. Let's go from all the way this weekend. We're not wanted here anymore. Let's go from all the way this weekend. Must continue. Everything's gonna be fine, so don't worry. Alright, don't go too far. You must continue.
Yeah.
tired night, no dark harbor, those stars whose names I have forgotten. Thou art beautiful and lost. O shadows moving past me, thou art my own deeds. Thou art the remaining pinpricks of remembering. O sorrowful citizens, my brothers who sleep on grass and sand, my sisters with silent signs, thou art beautiful and lost, thou art the pinpricks of our own shortcomings. Oh, hungry streets, oh, hypocrite cops, oh, angry entitlement, oh, gentrified homes, thou art beautiful and lost. Dead men forgotten below the bridges they built. Oh, lynch mob mentality that diamonds into paradigm. Oh, cheap shit consumerism. Oh, dreams of a house on the hill. Oh, modern double-edged scars. Spines broken on our virginity. Oh, fueled hymens of virtue and grace. Your myth ruins us all. Thou art beautiful, lost, and unreasonably held aloft, unfairly blocking the light, disdaining the dehiscence of our true natures. Oh, gang war, politics, oh, manipulated divisions, oh, poster children for abandoned principles, climbing through the windows of our rib cages, infecting us with willful ignorance. Thou art beautiful and lost. Oh, manufactured consent, coursing through our veins. Oh, sorrowful discord, oh, lies, hermit crabbing in truth. Oh, bigotry, now slinking, now sashaying, now parading down the boulevards, trailing blood and more bad laws, and more killer cops along the way. Oh, lovers whose hearts are bruised and cut, oh, teachers of pain and compassion, oh, patience, dismal pontificating women, thou art beautiful, beautiful and loved.
Watt from Pedro Show, final music for this edition. The stage, 2-Bit Horror. See what happened when they took that album to the stage. What they were... Actually, the stage was only an idea. Now it's a reality. Rubber Shoes from LHS. After that, Building Machines from Nasal Rod. We had Spit Sticks at Portland. He's up there teaching drums now. He's the Fear drummer.
Really?
I wouldn't lie to you.
What? No.
Off You Go from Unit F. And then That We Too. Finally, from 2-Bit Horror. What's the plans?
Plans is to do some more shows around L.A., but we're actively looking to book shows out of town.
You want a tour?
Definitely.
Hell
definitely
yeah.
Want a tour. And I've actually got a couple connections in Sweden because I used to live there, so I'm trying to work those so we can set up some shows
overseas.
That's the plan. I've already I took a track with me last year when I went for a poetry tour I did there and got it played on a Stockholm radio station.
Big town.
Yeah. And I now
people don't know it, that the archipelago around there. It's the most islands
beautiful.
In the world.
Yep.
And then also the per capita with boats. Swedes love boats.
Especially in Stockholm area.
Norwegians like to laugh at them because they're all plastic, and of course they make theirs out of wood.
Well, Swedes and Norwegians have been going back and forth for a few centuries.
And the Danes and the Icelands. And, yeah. But it's all really neat. Yeah. I wish you guys the best. I mean,
thank you.
Thanks.
What about California?
No, we want to do our first goal is to do West Coast, to like Washington. Oregon, San Francisco, Santa Barbara, San Diego. We want to do the whole West Coast. That's definitely...
I-5 tour.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well.
There's some good venues up and down the West. So.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah. I don't know. You
might know a few.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
The best. I mean, you guys were the two instigators, but it's...
We couldn't do it without them.
No, without Steve and
B and Steve.
We couldn't have done it.
They are absolutely essential.
Musically.
That's just been a lot of fun to work without any constraints and just be creatively free to do whatever the track calls for.
Yeah. Music is music.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for letting B do that, okay? Yeah, some really band dudes ain't like that.
So he's really developed to be a hell of a musician.
No, so when we asked these guys, to join, they said, "Well, what do you want?" And we said, "We want you. Here's what we have. We want what you can bring to this idea." And that was the only restriction we made it to him. So it was just, trust these guys.
And they brought it from the first rehearsal.
110%.
And then that's a great gift from them.
Yeah,
you bet it is.
You guys are all gift givers.
Yeah, in a way.
That's why we're all broke. We just keep giving it away.
There's just that Beefheart. Yeah, there's other ways to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was 43 magic bands, right? Some of it was in the Valley.
It was.
I think Drew Feldman and who's the... He couldn't even play, right? So... No, the captain showed him everything, but it was a heavy toll. That's his name's. He asked me to be in a band with him. He said none of that was me. It was all showed to me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
What's his name? Jeff Morris Tepper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for being on. Truly.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
me. And I want you to keep on keeping on. I can't wait for album two because that will be done knowing it's going to get played live. Yes, it's been February 11, 2018 edition of Pedro Show. Everybody out there. Keep your powder dry.